Today's episode of Darkness Radio is brought to you by Microdose. Get out of pain, get out of anxiety, and start treating yourself a little bit better. Try Microdose. Microdose is a CBD THC gummy that will get you out of pain, get you out of anxiety, and get you into feeling good again. To learn more about microdosing THC, go to microdose.com and use the code DARKNESS to get free shipping and 30% off your first order. Links can be found in the show description, but again, that's microdose.com, code DARKNESS. Welcome in to the best in paranormal programming. This is Darkness Radio. I'm Tim Dennis. Got a good show in store for you today, folks. I am pleased to have paranormal investigator, author Dave Spinks with us today. Dave's been on the program before. You might have remembered him on with Dave Weatherly. He did a joint book with David Weatherly quite a couple of years ago. We had him on. But Dave has a brand new book out. We're going to talk about that. It has to do with Dog Man. That's coming up a little bit later in the program. I want to talk to him about a few of the investigations he's done recently and in the recent past. We're going to go through that as well today. And we're going to talk about maybe a little project he has coming up here that's coming out here this year. So we got lots of stuff to talk to Dave about today. Maybe we'll even talk to him about his time on Ghost Nation. I want to maybe find out a little about that. And our friend Jay Hawes. I'm a big fan of Jay and love Jay as a brother. So I want to find out a little bit about his time on Ghost Nation too. Dave's been investigating and researching the supernatural since 1986. Oh my gosh, I was a sophomore in high school. Due to several experiences he had as a young man. Since that time, he has conducted several hundred investigations in the U.S. as well as Europe. Dave served in the U.S. Air Force. Thank you for your service, Dave, for 8 years and went on to work as a federal law enforcement officer, retiring in 2011. During his paranormal investigations, Dave has experienced many, many hair-raising and unnerving things, as one might imagine. Having investigated strange phenomena for over 30 years, he has built many friendships with some of the most well-known investigators in the field today. He has been seen on various television shows to include Expedition X, Terror in the Woods, Paranormal 911, The Unexplained, In Search of Monsters, and These Woods Are Haunted, to name a few. He has also featured in the film Flatwoods Monster, A Legacy of Fear by Small Town Monsters. He has been a featured guest of hundreds of paranormal-themed radio shows, including this one, and podcasts. Dave is often a featured guest speaker at paranormal conferences around the country. We'll talk about MonsterCon today as well. He is also an author of numerous books on topics that include cryptids, hauntings, and ufology. Let's welcome in to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show, Dave Spinks. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Tim. How you doing, man? Thanks for having me.
Doing very well. Thank you for being with us today, my friend.
My pleasure.
I'm glad to have you back just by yourself and to get to know you a little bit better and have a nice sit down with you today. Let's talk a little bit first just about paranormal investigating in general. I know this week, I think we can kind of sit back and just kind of enjoy the silence for a moment after the paranormal drama that's gone on and other television land, we'll put it that way, and just kind of enjoy paranormal investigating for what it is. I think, we can enjoy the simplicity of what it is this week. Could you say that even though we've all, I shouldn't say we've all, but the few of us that have had the pleasure of being able to enjoy little projects on TV or being able to jump onto a television show and come off of it and see it for what it is, because it's kind of a lark to be on a show. I got to do Paranormal Night Shift for a season, and you've got to do some film and TV projects. It's kind of nice to jump into fantasy land for a little bit, see it for what it is, get to feature yourself for a minute, but then come back to reality and know exactly what it is, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's so, people don't realize, okay, unfortunately, the general public thinks that these paranormal TV shows are the real side of the paranormal. They are, and they aren't, so to speak. Okay, I'm not saying they don't get legitimate evidence on some of these shows, because they do, but it's just not the way the real paranormal works. When you're doing and conducting investigations, it's totally different when you're filming a TV show. You know, you're on a schedule, you're on a time limit on a TV show. You know, you've got a bunch of camera guys running around, sound guys running around doing their thing, and it's just a whole different ball game. People don't understand. The general public just doesn't understand. You know, when you're investigating without all that hobnob stuff going on, it's a whole different ball game as well. You know, you're going through a location, you're trying to be as quiet as possible so you can document evidence, possible EVPs, and use your ears, because your best tools, for me anyway, the best tools you have is your body. You know, mm-hmm. your disembodied voices, the hair on the back of your neck stands up, whatever. That gives me all kinds of auditory and visual cues. Okay, this is a good time to do an EVP session right now. You know, you're using your body, your best piece of equipment, so to speak. Then you go right into an EVP session or whatever the case, you know. So you may be sitting at a location for 12 hours doing your thing, and then you're not getting anything. All of a sudden you have 2 to 3 minutes of just, it just goes off the charts crazy, and you're getting EVPs, and you're getting this, and you're hearing unexplained noises or voices, disembodied voices, and then it just stops, you know. So unfortunately, the TV world and the real paranormal investigating world are much different, but similar, you know. Yeah, so, yeah. You know, it's hard to explain to the general public, and folks don't realize, you know, you might be in a location for one day when you're on a TV show, or a week. You don't know. You know, it just depends what show you're doing and how you're doing it. But, you know, it's a catch 22. The TV world is very good for the paranormal when it comes to expanding people's knowledge a little bit, and seeing some of the cool locations that are out there that are being investigated as hauntings, or maybe there was a sighting of a strange creature there on this property, or some strange lights in the sky, whatever the case may be. It brings it out into the mainstream. That's why it's pop culture nowadays, because of TV. You know, mm-hmm. When I first started doing this, you couldn't talk about this stuff, or you'd be labeled as a Looney Tunes, you know, this and that, or you're messing with, you know, you're a devil worshiper and all kinds of crazy stuff, because it's all fear-based. You know, people are scared to death of the unknown. And this is the TV side has really helped open it up to people and made them see it a whole different way, so to speak.
I have an interesting question for you. I came up with an idea the other day just in my own head. And I thought to myself, as this paranormal drama was being thrown around, I thought to myself, Dave, you know, there seems to be a bit of, we present the paranormal right now on television and we hype it up. And I think the reason we hype it up is so that we can convey the fear that may potentially be there in a paranormal investigation. And you pointed it out very, very eloquently, fear. That's what most producers are going for, to project fear. What if we combined the world of the paranormal and the world of virtual reality video gaming, tried to put an investigation, but heightened an investigation, because, you know, not everything happens bang, bang, bang in an investigation, put it in a virtual reality video game and presented it to a consumer that way in virtual reality and gave them the same thrills, but took the host out of it. I know now we're taking jobs away from paranormal celebrities, but if we, if we did that, does that take that medium of television away and the cult of personality of television away? And does that give people the experience of ghost hunting without the liability of it?
Oh yeah, I think it could, for sure. I mean, that's a whole different take on it. But you know, like I've always said, and we talked about it before we started the show here a little bit. We touched on it. You know, if you're doing this stuff or interested in stuff because you want to be on TV, you're doing it for the wrong reason.
Yeah.
You know, my primary goal in this is to help people and help people understand that there's unknown things going on all around us all the time, because there literally is, in my humble opinion. You know, I've seen some of the craziest things you can imagine and experienced some myself, you know, as far as like being scratched, and I had my head cracked open one time at a location, and even had my arm broken I mean, you could label it as a coincidental, but when you put all the facts together on how these things occurred and then what you got evidence wise at the same time, it, you know, coming from a law enforcement background, you know, people are convicted in court of law on circumstantial evidence all the time. And some of the things that have happened to me and friends of mine on these investigations, you know, there was more than enough to convict him in a court of law, so to speak.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to, you know, as an investigator, you got to step outside the box and look at it from all different ways and go, wait a minute, man, what was really going on here? Because we have physical injuries on some of this stuff and things happen that are just truly unexplainable. And it happens more often than not. The more you go, you know, it's the old adage, the more you go out and look for something or be careful what you ask for, because you just might get it. Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people have gotten attachments doing this stuff. People, there's been murder suicides and all kinds of stuff in the paranormal world with well-known people and many more that aren't known. You know, what exactly is going on here? There's some kind of otherworldly element affecting people in many different manifestations, like physical, unexplained physical marks on their bodies. Having, you know, people are doing some of the most heinous things you can imagine. And is there a paranormal influence? I really feel there is. You know, is there an unexplained influence, something unseen, physically interacting with our world, causing these injuries on people and different things like that? So, you know, there's all kinds of stuff out there, and you can go down the rabbit hole many different directions when it comes to the paranormal. You know, so it's fascinating stuff to me. It's kind of like my mantra. It's three of man's greatest unanswered questions. Are we alone in the universe? What happens to us when we die? And are there unknown creatures walking among us? Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of my whole mantra and why I do what I do, because it fascinates me when I get one little piece of that puzzle. And I'm going, wow, are you kidding me right now? Look what we just got, or look what we just saw or experienced. You know, it's phenomenal stuff. I love it. And that's what drives me on to do this, because there's no money to be made in the real paranormal world, so to speak.
Very true.
We were talking before the show. I said, if I had half the money back I've ever spent doing this stuff, I'd be a rich man, you know. But, you know, it's kind of like, you know, it's a hobby gone insane, so to speak, you know. Right. So,
well, let me follow up on a couple of points you just threw out there. Okay, so you've had substantial injuries doing this. There's a liability to this, to this expensive hobby. There's money you've thrown out there, and a lot of it. But at the same time, you're getting these little pieces to the answers of the universe that keep sparking that interest over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. So what is the cost to these little answers, and how much is too much for you? How much is too much?
Well, you know, there's been times over the years where I was just like, man, is there anything else I can do when it comes to this? I've documented EVPs. I've documented, you know, captured things on camera that were like, whoa, what is that? You know, and you know, had them verified by experts in those various genres, like, you know, voice experts and sound experts and video experts and so on and so forth. And you're just like, man, but it just keeps you coming back for more, because you're just, man, you're hoping to be the guy that captures Bigfoot on camera, you know. But and not to say people haven't, you know, nowadays that's another conundrum, because everybody wants to be that person who captures it. And there's probably some really good evidence out there that has been dubbed as fake or CG, because it costs a lot of money to get that kind of stuff verified. You got to send it off and send, you know, pay these experts all this money. And people just don't have that kind of money, especially in the paranormal world, you know. And unfortunately with CG nowadays, they can do some amazing things with computers and stuff. And, you know, some of the things out there that are probably legit, that are a piece of evidence that's just phenomenal, have never even been verified or anything, you know. So and that's why, you know, I love having my store too. Oh, my God, because people come in almost daily when I'm in there, and they said, you don't know how happy I am you have this place, because I can come. I've been holding this experience I had for 30 years to myself because I didn't want to be labeled. And they just dump on me all this information in this one time when they were hunting in the woods or whatever. And I'm just like, wow, man, that's awesome. Can I use that in my book? You know,
yeah,
you know, because that's how, to me, information is power. And the more people that share their experiences and their stories, and you can get it out there to the public, it just lends more to the whole aspect of things that, hey, there's people from all walks of life, all over this planet, that had this life-changing experience, but they've held it in for 30 years or whatever the case may be, because they didn't want to be ridiculed or labeled. But these are good, honest people, you know, that really had a life-changing experience, and no matter what the what their experience was. And I love that part of it too. And I love hearing people's stories, and I love sharing my experiences with people, because the more we do that, the more we know that, hey, there's some kind of unexplained phenomena going on here, you know, and it's not just right here, but it's worldwide, you know. So that's what it's all about for me, you know, just trying to document evidence and trying to help people, because I, you know, I've delved back in now. I've done so many commercial locations, like asylums and prisons and haunted locations, you know, notorious haunted houses. It's just not the real paranormal for me. Mm-hmm. That's a part of the paranormal, documenting and documenting that evidence, saying, okay, yeah, I did my deal at whatever asylum and I got this, this, and this. Yeah, I can, as far as I'm concerned, it's haunted. It'll all get out, you know, yep. But going back and helping people that are experiencing these native type hauntings, or just things that, you know, like I talked to you earlier on the show before we started doing the show, these people that have had a horrible experience, like their child committing suicide. But right before that happened, there was this paranormal phenomena going on in their home, and they were experiencing some weird things. Next thing you know, their child commits suicide, and they call us, because they've already been to every other avenue for help. They're not getting what they need. And then all of a sudden I'm getting a phone call or an email. We think it's something otherworldly that pushed our child to do this. Can you please come and help and check it out? And that's what I've been doing for, you know, I kind of laid back out of the, I used to do a lot of stuff on YouTube. I don't do that anymore, mm-hmm. because, you know, this is privacy stuff. You go to someone's home, and then next thing you know, you're documenting things that make you believe or make you look at these suicides and other horrible events that have transpired that, hey, there's a paranormal aspect to this. What the heck happened here?
Yeah.
And it seems to be so prevalent. And I've been doing that for the last 3.5 years, really. And, documenting some pretty, pretty, really heavy stuff, man. And, and here's the thing with that. And people could say, well, you're taking advantage of these people. No, they're calling me, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they've already been to mental health experts. They've already been to so many other professional agencies that cannot help them, cannot give them the answers they need or seek. And they want closure. They need that closure. You know, why did their child do this? And I'm not saying I have all the answers. I don't. But sometimes, not every time, we do document some paranormal stuff that's involved with that. So, and some of the cases that I'll be talking about in the future, and when we get to that point, when I'm ready and we think it's time, we'll get with you on some of that too. And we can talk about it on the show. I'll get my girlfriend, Serenity Jenny, on, and we can share some really just heart pounding, eye watering cases that we've worked on that just, you know, something that transpired a month and a half ago, or back in December, in January. And we started that case on Halloween of all things. But, let me just see how I can put this lightly, but
sure.
We experienced something that I told her that I've seen her do. I saw her do was worth every second that I spent doing this paranormal adventure of mine for 30 years. It was what I've seen happen and transpire was so profound. It was worth every second of the last 30 years plus years of doing this.
Really?
I've never seen anything like it. I was there, a part of it, and you've never been a part of something that just emotional and we gave closure to the family. Wow. And that was so powerful. You know, I can't even express it in words, so, you know, we'll talk about that sometime. Sure. On the show in the near future, if you want,
but absolutely. Absolutely.
That's the kind of stuff I'm delving into now, because that's what it's all about for me. I love to help people if I can. There are answers to all this stuff, but you know, if we can help one family, one person get closure as to why their loved one may have done this or what pushed them to do this, And there's a paranormal answer, and we find it. Wow, how powerful and profound is that?
Very, you know, very. And I think,
because, yeah, it's just, I can't even express it in words, really.
But. No, yeah, I think you've done, yeah, I think you've done an awesome job at it, Dave. You know, there comes that time, I think, in everybody's paranormal growth and their investigative growth and their spiritual growth where they do this for a reason. Maybe you start out investigating because you're not quite sure where you are as far as what you believe, maybe spiritually. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you're in it for a thrill. Maybe you are a hobbyist and you go out there and you decide, you know what, I just want to see if I can scare something up on a recorder. But then it becomes something more. Then you need more meaning to what it is you're doing. And I think when you've got to the point where you are, you're a professional. Now you are there to actually help souls. You're there to actually help people. You're there to actually, the word that I want to use here is save people. You know, you're there to save people. Because there is a higher calling to being a professional. And you did it in law enforcement. You did it as a soldier. Now you're doing it as a paranormal investigator. And God bless you, sir. That's what it's all about.
Well, for me, you know, when I started out, it was just to find the answers because I had some of my own experience that I couldn't get answers. My grandfather that I had the whole Bigfoot thing with, mm-hmm. oddly enough, was a Baptist minister for 40 plus years after World War II. He was there with me. We both experienced it. This is a man who was not scared of anything, but I couldn't get any answers from him because to him, it was the devil and we don't talk about that. And it was so frustrating because I was like, well, what about this? And what about that? And he was like, you know, I was a young man. I was 13 years old. I was in a early extensions of becoming a man and I couldn't get that spiritual help I needed. So I kind of set off on my own, started, you know, digging up anything and everything I could find on this stuff. And both the first two weird things that happened to me was that experience and then the experience with my other grandfather. And that was a haunting. I saw him after he had died and I didn't even know he was dead yet, you know, type of thing.
Yeah.
And it just snowballed into this, man, I need answers for my own personal growth. I need to know what I'm dealing with. What is this, you know?
Yep.
And that's how I started this. And then it's just, I've evolved now into what we just talked about. And to me, it's all about energy. I think we're, as human beings, you know, our soul, we're pure energy. We're just in a meat suit right now. Whether we have other lifetimes we have to experience or whatever the case, I think when we die, our energy just transforms into something else. And maybe we go into another meat suit at some time, but we go through this veil of forgetfulness or where we have to, it's almost like a lesson teaching type of thing as a spiritual being, you know, and some of the things I've seen over the years just leads me more and more to that, you know, as a human being made up of pure energy, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. What's really inside us right here in our heart, yeah. you know, our soul.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of the scientific stuff that's out there now on this has documented what looks like something leaving the body as a person dies. I mean, they're doing all kinds of insane studies now. They've actually documented the body losing a certain amount. I can't remember the exact amount of weight when that mm-hmm. moment happens, but yep. it's a documented amount of weight. So it's pretty fascinating when you go into the science side of that and you see that. It's actually giving us some validation. There's something that goes on there. We're not quite sure what it is, but there's something that goes on there.
Yeah.
So, you know, people that are very solid in their, you know, so Christian faith based, they don't like to delve into this stuff because it doesn't talk about it in the Bible, so to speak, but there's so much more to it, I think. And, you know, and the Bible, and it, you know, I believe in God. I believe in a higher power. I believe in, if you have good intent and you don't go out maliciously trying to hurt other human beings for whatever reason, you're a good person. And that's mm-hmm. all that really matters. Doesn't matter what faith you have, what your background is. I think it's all based off of that anyway. You know, I think a lot of things have transpired over the years for generations, and it's all fear-based and about money, power, and greed personally, but it's a lot of things I feel that have been left out of the Bible and things that we should know, and for whatever reason, the higher powers have kept that out for control purposes, so to speak. So,
absolutely.
And that's a whole nother show, but
yeah, absolutely. That's a whole other topic. We could go an hour on that,
but in reality, it's all intertwined, man. All of this stuff is intertwined. These types of cases cross over, as far as UFOs and weird sightings of weird creatures, because I've had case after case. And so have other, counterparts of mine, where there was a rash of Bigfoot sightings in an area, and there was a rash of strange lights in that same area during the same time. And a lot of us have actually gone back to some of the more well-known cases, and boom, lo and behold, yep, look at there. There's all these Bigfoot stuff going on, and then little strange lights in the sky too. So what are these things?
Yeah.
Are they ETs, or what's going on here? Same with hauntings and UFOs. There's been people that have been experiencing poltergeist-like activity in their homes. And then you get to the home to investigate it, right? And then, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm having these dreams of these little grays in my house, and I'm floating up through my ceiling. What? You didn't tell me that in the beginning. So, a lot of this stuff crosses over, and we'd be doing ourselves a disservice as investigators if we didn't, like I said, step outside the box and look at it from a whole different angle, because there's weird stuff going on everywhere.
Very true. Let me ask you real quick before we go to break here. You said you had that experience with Bigfoot with your grandfather, and he told you it was the devil. Now, through the years, obviously, you've had experiences with different cryptids. Right now, at this moment, as you and I, as Dave Spinks and Tim Dennis are sitting together, what do you believe Bigfoot is? Is it an ape? Is it a spiritual creature? Is it something that's connected to UFOs? Is it interdimensional? What is Bigfoot to you?
Well, that's the question, isn't it? I don't know, man. I have no idea. All I know, what I saw was real, and it was throwing big rocks this big at us, and it was tearing down the woods, making the most god-awful howling sound I've ever, that you can imagine. So, because having investigated, other people's experiences and sightings of these creatures, and then I have all this crossover going on at the same time. Like, I'll give you one quick example. Hunter comes to me and said, man, I was in the woods and I was tracking a deer. Mm-hmm. And I came across this set of footprints, and it's barefooted human looking footprints in the snow in the middle of the woods in the middle of winter. And I start following this set of tracks, and I go on for like 150 yards. And then I'd look up, and about 50, 60 yards from me, I see an 8-foot tall, hairy creature just meandering along the woods. And I'm going, oh my God, what am I seeing? The thing looks back at me and just keeps on walking, goes around a brush pile. I get to that point, the foot tracks stop. There's no more foot tracks, and there's no sight of this thing. So what happened? Beam me up, Scotty. I mean, what's going on here?
Yeah.
I was showing pictures of the tracks and everything else. And you get reports like this all the time. So what in the world is going on with this? Is this thing an ET? Is it a ghost of a long extinct ape species? What are we dealing with here? And these things are, if they are a ghost, how are they able to interact physically in our world like they do? Just like a ghost does, doing poltergeist activity, keys throwing on the floor, different things moving around in the house. What are we dealing with here?
Yeah.
So that, as you know, we often leave with many more questions when investigating this stuff than we do coming out of there with answers.
Yeah.
So,
I hate to vacillate and waffle on it too. I think it's a blood, flesh and blood creature, I hear more and more stories that say, well, the thing just disappeared into thin air. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. Is it a Native American elemental? What is it? I mean, what are we dealing with here?
Yeah.
Sometimes it can be very frustrating, but at the same time, it's super exciting because you're given yet another piece to the puzzle to try to work with and figure it out. But it gets very frustrating, but it's fascinating too.
Yeah. We're going to take our break here. But first, when we come back, Dave has a brand new book out there. It's called The West Virginia Dogman. And we're going to talk a little bit about the West Virginia Dogman and get the story on Dogman and get into that and figure out what exactly the West Virginia Dogman is. We're also going to talk a little bit about Dave's story. We mentioned it a little bit before. It's Dave Spink's World of Weird, 8,000 square feet, folks. This is a huge
paranormal madness.
That's right. Paranormal madness. It's got an event center in it. It is a meeting place for all of you of the like mind and the paranormal ilk. So we'll talk about that as well. We'll talk about where Dave is going to be around the country. MonsterCon, one word or two. I'm not quite sure. Is it one word or two, Dave?
I guess you could say two.
Okay, two words. And much, much more, folks. We'll have a link in the description of this show to tell you where to go to find where Dave's going to be around the country. He's going to be everywhere this spring and summer and fall. You can get out and meet him. I'll give you a hint. It's DaveSpinksParanormalInvestigator.com. But we'll have that link in the description of this program. We'll talk about where Dave's going to be around the country, where you can meet him, shake hands, get autographed signings of his books, and we'll tell you where you can see him on film and on TV and catch his lovely face and see him in action. We'll talk about all that and much, much more after the break. You're listening to the best in paranormal and supernatural programming. This is Darkness Radio. Welcome back to the Best in Paranormal Programming. This is Darkness Radio. I'm Tim Dennis. Our guest is paranormal investigator Dave Spinks. Before the break, we're talking West Virginia Dogman. That is the name of, actually, it's the West Virginia Dogman is the name of the brand new book that Dave Spinks has out there. We have a link in the description of this program that you can go to and click on and get that brand new book. Let's talk a little bit about the West Virginia Dogman, Dave. Let's first ask, why the West Virginia Dogman, and what was the
motivation?
Yes, motivation to write about specifically the West Virginia Dogman. We've heard of Dogman and different areas of the country, but why West Virginia?
Sorry, it was breaking up there for a second. The reason I decided to do a Dogman book is because over the years in West Virginia, I have investigated just a small amount of Dogman sightings reported here in the Mountain State. And I knew there was some historical data on some rather well-known instance that took place in an adjacent county to where I live called Webster County. And they called it the Blue Devil sightings in 1939-1940. So, you know, I decided to delve in and see what research I could do and dig up any more cases along with eyewitness reports and whatnot. And there was enough to do a book, and no one had ever written on the West Virginia topic of Dogman per se, you know, all the different encounters and different things. So that's how I decided to do the book, because I had investigated a couple of cases over the years of these reported ginormous canid type creatures, you know, roaming the Mountain State. So, you know, when I started researching into it, I said, well, there's a little bit more than I realized here, you know. And I got with Jody Cook, and he had a couple of accounts from West Virginia on his North American Dogman stuff. So he threw those my way and said, yeah, use them if you don't have them already. And there was a few that crossed over that I already had that he had on there too, but there was a few that I didn't have. So, and you know, it's not only about just West Virginia. It has some other historical data in there. And all the way up until modern day, these modern day wolf cults, so to speak, that are active to this day, just like we've all heard of the vampire cults, you know, that go around and drink each other's blood. That's a real thing. I mean, and there's a real aspect of the werewolf and / dogman cults all around the world to this day. The Nazis had a special unit that were the werewolf unit, basically. I mean, all kinds of stuff. So it's a fascinating topic. And if you ever watch like the Gaia channel and you listen to some of these stories about these Tornian backers and stuff, they talk about a giant dogman race of beings that are, the way they describe it, they're part biomechanical and part flesh and blood. creatures, and they stand 7 to 9 feet tall, and they're enormous, and the only thing that can kill them is a 50 caliber rifle.
Okay, that's so, nightmare fuel right there. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then, you know, also, I wanted to add a little bit more into that book, too, because I think it kind of interrelates to the fascination and the scariness of these wolf creatures, these dogmen, these hellhounds, and the black dog stories of West Virginia. There's so many here. We have one that's called the White Thing, and it's a dog type creature of nightmares. And I mean, so I added a lot of that in that into this book. You know, it's not a real big book, but it's got a lot of really good information. And some of the stuff I came across when it deals with these, they're reported by famous explorers like Christopher Columbus and other people, was supposedly this dogman race of creatures that lived way back in like the Carpathian Mountains, and they stayed to themselves, but they did eat people. And one of the most famous aspects and stories, if you don't know, is Saint Christopher was reportedly one of these creatures, and he felt bad about what he was doing to humans when they were eating humans, and he started making amends and doing all these good things. And God took favor on him and turned him into a human, and he became Saint Christopher. Look it up. It's out there, folks. It's, and there's actual art depictions of him in the saintly robes as a dog creature. And then the next picture is him being transformed into a human by God. Now, that was a fascinating piece of history to me that I didn't know about. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute. This is tripping me out. Wow. So, you know, there's a little, I touch on a little bit of that, you know, but the book's about West Virginia dogman sightings for the long and short of it. And it's got some of the historical sightings that took place here in Webster County. The whole area was up in arms. There was hunters that came from all over the country trying to hunt this thing and kill it. They killed a coyote and a wolf. And so that was the cover story that, oh, this is what was going around killing all the animals and terrorizing people. But when you read the reports, it wasn't your normal wolf or coyote. It was a dog like creature that stood 9 feet tall on two legs and walked like a human, but could also drop down on all fours and run at incredible speeds. So, wow. And I have a few of the more modern sightings in the book as well. So, you know, and a couple of cases that I investigated too. So, you know, it's a fascinating topic, and no one had ever done a book on the West Virginia dogman aspect or werewolf aspect, so I decided to do that book.
Now,
and people are receiving it well. So,
without getting too spoilerish, are there anything more than just sightings? Has anyone ever been injured by any of these dogmen in recent times?
Not in my book. Not in my book, but people, there are some stories of animal killings. With strange markings on them, like they were slashed and ripped by what looked like claws, and things of that nature in there. No humans that I knew of. I never came across any human injury cases or killing cases as far as being possibly related to that.
I got to wonder.
But the hair raising encounters reported by people as well.
Okay, so this is more than just, like, say, here in Minnesota, we have wolves and timberwolves, not the Timberwolves basketball team. They're not harmful to anybody. But like wolf legend and lore that might've grown a little out of control and, you know, been spun into stories. This is actual sightings and, you know, you've got actual physical evidence that you're working off of.
Well, I'll tell you one case that really surprised me, and this, I can't say the person's name or anything because they are in a high level of government here in the state, but it's a prosecuting attorney in one of the counties here in West Virginia.
Okay.
So for a person of that prestige to come forward and report his story to me was pretty phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know, and when you have people such as that reporting these things to you, well, I mean, they have a lot to lose. You know, their reputation, people labeling them, the whole nine yards. But he felt compelled enough to say, hey, man, this is what we saw. There's no doubt about what I saw. I know what it was. And it was this.
Whoa.
And it scared the living hell out of me. So, you know,
yeah.
So, you know, that's just one of the cases in the book. And it's pretty hair-raising, some of these reports people give, you know. And these are people really that have nothing to gain, you know, by sharing these experiences and sightings that they've reported over the years.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what I look for, you know. And they're out there. Their stories are out there. So I just thought it was a creepy, cool, another aspect of wild, wonderful West Virginia, and no one had ever done any writing on it, so I did one.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, and it goes right along with what I do. So
it does.
And when we kicked off, the funny part too is we kicked off the book, you know, in the store and everything. And I bought a 9.5 foot tall dog man. And I don't want to give the company any free advertising, but yeah. It's at a well known store that sells Halloween props. And I was like, oh, I got to have one of those for the book release. So, you know, signing books at my store, and I got a 9.5 tall dog man that moves and it's animated and it's really, really cool. So, you know, and that's some of the stuff we have at the store. I have a real Zoltar machine. I have 9.5 foot tall dog man. I got an 8.5 foot tall Sasquatch that was created for me to recreate what I saw as a kid. I had a special effects guy do it, you know, so
Let's talk about the world of weird. We're in it now. Let's talk about the world of weird. Dave Spink's world of weird. Tell us where it's located.
Little town called Richwood, West Virginia, little bitty town, one stoplight town. But the reason I put the store there is a couple of reasons. Well, the main reason is it's right on the edge, like the edge of the Monongahela National Forest.
Okay.
And if you don't know anything about that national forest, it's massive. And that's where the bulk of the Bigfoot reports and strange sighting reports come out of West Virginia. I mean, this thing takes up like, I forget how many millions and millions of acres. It goes from southern West Virginia on the east side all the way up to Maryland and everything. I mean, it's a massive expanse of land, and it's so rugged in places that I guarantee probably, man, there's places out there people have never really even stepped foot on, because it's very rugged, very rural. There's no houses anywhere out there. You might, on the way out there, you might see a house every 3, 4, 5 miles, and then they just stop and it's just all wilderness. So, I mean, it's a very rugged piece of land. I've spent many a night camping out there trying to record Bigfoot sounds and different strange sounds, seeing UFOs out there over the years. It's a really, really great place for sky watching and going out there looking for the Bigfoot, you know, the elusive West Virginia Bigfoot. So it's just a great place, and that's why I put the store there. And do get a lot of traffic going into the forest from there, and they have some of the world's best trout fishing. People come from Japan and all over the world to fish there. Fish here, and we have a lot of outdoor rails to trails and all kind of cool stuff out here. So put the store there. And second reason was to help the little town. Small town America is dying, folks, you know. And when I put on the monster cons, I can, you know, our first one last year, we brought 700 people in from 7 states, and all those people spent money. So, you know, that helps the town. And, and my kids go to school here, and, you know, I actually bought a house here and I live here right down from the store now. So, you know, and it's great because I got people coming from all over the state, other states, telling me their stories. Well, I'm from here, you know, and 25 years ago I was out here hunting and I saw this. So, you know, it's a great place. It's got the hometown vibe. And when we do the MonsterCon, it's a blast because the whole town gets involved. Man, the restaurants are making like Bigfoot burgers. They're serving Sasquatch beer, Raxi beer, Mothman beer. I mean, they go all out. It's really a lot of fun. And, you know, everybody has a good time, and we're hoping to build it. You know, we hope to get it the quarter of the size of Mothman Festival at some point, you know.
Yeah.
And we got great guest speakers coming in this year, but the store is great. You know, we have all kind of merch, t-shirts, magnets, buttons, my books. I carry Johnny Zavis's books in there.
Yep.
He'll send me a whole box of signed books. I got Lyle Blackburn's books. I've got Ken Gerhard's books. I've got Stan Gordon's books. You know, they're all friends of mine, and we, you know, I give them an outlet to sell their merchandise at too. So it's great. And on the other side, we have my girlfriend Serene Jenny's Holistic Healing Center, her metaphysical stuff in there, crystals, sage, the whole nine yards.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a whole healing center in there with the magnetic tables, and she's a Reiki master times six, you know, so she does all that. And she treats the experiencers and the investigators and law enforcement and everybody else, you know, so It's a lot of fun, and it's all kind of a one-stop shop, you know, for paranormal and supernatural events. So
that's really cool.
We also do. We'll have like a night with, just as an example, a night with Johnny Zaffis there, or a night with so and so there. You know, we bring in one speaker and let them promote their new book and give a presentation. And we had Ron Murphy there recently, and he's going to be part of the MonsterCon this year. Mm-hmm. We've got Dr. Raymond Keller, if you ever heard of him. He's an OG. He's an OG guy, UFO guy, great speaker, just a salt of the earth person. Stan Gordon will be there. Eric Altman, Barry Gaunton, the Night Stalkers from Kentucky, which a lot of people don't know, but Barry's a native, West Virginia native. So he just lives in Kentucky now, and he runs the Octagon Hall for them. So who else we have? Ron Lanham and Joe Perdue of Wild and Wonderful, Wild and Weird West Virginia. There's some up and coming guys that are making a name for themselves here in the Mountain State, and they do a lot of investigations, mostly Bigfoot, but they do other stuff too. They've been around a while. They're just now getting their name out there. I help them with that. They've been in a few of Seth Breedlove's movies and different things.
Yep.
So, you know, a lot of good people. And of course, Serenity will be there. Serenity will be there speaking and doing her thing. And me, and then we're having, Wild Bill, because Wild Bill from Mountain Monsters, he's a native right here. He's from here. So, you know, we got a lot of good people coming in at the store for MonsterCon, and come on down and visit us. We got a VIP night Friday night. Saturday is all day speakers and vendors from all over the country, and it's going to be a good one, man.
And West Virginia MonsterCon is April 28th, 29th, and 30th of this year. And you can get tickets by going to Dave Spinks, ParanormalInvestigator.com. Again, we'll have a link in the description of this show. So I'm curious too here, Dave, with just outside of MonsterCon, you're getting really good response from the townspeople then too. They're coming in when you're bringing in, like, say, Johnny Z, or you're bringing in Stan Gordon, or you're bringing in Ken Gerhardt, or you're bringing in any of these big time speakers. They're coming in to see these speakers. They're coming in for book signings. They're coming in for things too. So really, you're getting good response from the community as well.
Oh yeah, and you know, and that's the whole goal is to share people's knowledge and their experiences on this stuff, and to help the town, of course, like mm-hmm. I said, and just help keep spreading the word and bringing in different people that are, you know, considered experts in their field. I don't like to use that word, but you know, people that have a wealth of knowledge, a wealth of experience in these things, and people really seem to enjoy it. They love hearing, you know, people have questions about this stuff, or mm-hmm. maybe they're on the fence. They don't know what to believe. You know, there's something there. So they come and they get to experience a phenomenal speaker or someone that's, you know, written numerous books, and to hear their side of it and what they've experienced. And maybe that at least they get that opportunity to sit right there in the same room, see the presentation and hear these people speak. And that's what it's all about for me. It's an entertainment value, but it's also a knowledge value, because, you know, these things are out there. They affect many people, or maybe someone in their family experienced something. They need answers for them. You know, who knows?
Yeah.
But it can go so many different ways. Yeah. And that's what we're trying to bring, you know, and let's face it, these things are fun too, and exciting and scary and creepy. But you can come in and you can get, you know, you can get a DVD, or you can get a t-shirt or a hat that's got, you know, Bigfoot on it, or any other number of cryptids, you know, or whatever. We also have in the store something I really love, and that's handmade Native American mm-hmm. medicine bags and necklaces and dream catchers that are made by shaman friends of ours. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really top drawer quality stuff. Drums, you know, yep. bare skin drums.
Yep.
So those are utilized in the metaphysical side of things and whatnot, and the energy healing things. Mm-hmm. So we have a little bit of everything in that store, and that's what it's all about. You know, it's bringing two of those two sides of this together. And I don't think there's anything else really like it out there, size wise and everything.
It really is hard to find a good paranormal and metaphysical store in smaller communities too, or even drive to one in smaller communities. So it really is cool that you have a store of that size in the West Virginia area. That's really cool.
Yeah, and you know, it's fun, and the, you know, like I said, we could have put it in a bigger area with a lot more traffic, but you know, there's reasons for that because we're, like I said, right on the edge of the Monongahela. I can help this small town that's in my home county, you know, mm-hmm. where I'm from. It's not where I'm actually from, but it's in my same county. And my kids go to school here, and you know, it's just fun. And we have a really good time with it, and it's we get some of the really cool reports, and people just come in and they just want to talk, you know. Yep. And they get something off their chest they've been holding on there for 25-30 years or more, you know.
Yeah, and that's so, that's really important too, to get that community together and to get that sense of community as well.
And the store is haunted too, by the way.
It is.
It was built in 1906, and the town was a lumber and coal mining town. So, you know, there was all kind of debauchery going on, and there was mob ties way back in the 20s, 30s, and 40s, you know, and all kind of illegal stuff underground and prostitution and the whole nine yards. They would train in the prostitutes on paydays and all kind of, there was shootouts and everything else, murders, you know. So it's just one of those real, like, old timey towns that have a lot of history and a lot of energy, and the store is haunted. You know, I'm the first store that it's never been a hardware store since 1906, if that tells you anything. So, you know, and the other side, they connect. The other side was a bar and all kinds of stuff. A woman died in there and all. And then, you know, when I was we were getting a store ready, I'd be sitting there painting or something, and I felt a cold breeze go by me. Hear the wood floors creaking as something walked right by me. And a couple of different people with abilities have been in there. So I seen a redheaded woman in the back. And then I seen another lady said she saw an old man with overalls on. Well, turns out a couple of owners ago was an old man that always wore overalls, and he died in there. So, you know, you got some activity going on there too. So this Halloween, we're going to be doing some events, you know, doing some small events where we let people come in. We'll investigate the store too.
You know, it would almost be fun if you were doing like as part of MonsterCon to do a what do they call them? You know, where you have the checklist and you do you tick it off and you find the different items.
Yeah, like a what you call it, hunt.
Except for
can't think of the name either.
But you do with paranormal stuff. So, like, can you get an EVP from this spirit, or can you see this spirit, or whatever throughout the weekend?
That's actually a really good idea, Tim.
Yeah. You know, just make it part of the con. I don't know.
There you go. Yeah.
Let's move on here. Let's talk a little bit about. I want to talk a little bit about TV for a short bit here and your appearances on TV. I do want to talk just a brief moment about your experience on Ghost Nation. We both have a friend in common in Jay Hawes and all the guys on Ghost Nation. I know we talked a little bit about the show, about your experience, but just for our friends here that are listening, you said something to me that was refreshing. And that we all know how, you and I know how paranormal investigating goes. A lot of the people listening know how paranormal investigating goes, but you said something really refreshing in that you said, you know, when you talk about paranormal television, they really do what you see is what you're getting. You essentially, they know when they're investigating on television, they're investigating for real. And you are getting the real deal when you're on set, correct?
Oh yeah, it was really awesome being a part of that. And you know, if they ever watch the show, another shout out. Hey, thanks Jason and the guys for having me on that show, because it was a great experience. But so you know, been a part of numerous shows. That show in particular was you know how it comes about. They're always looking for cases. So a particular location I was doing down in South Carolina. was this old plantation known as Fonte Flora, and the owner, it's been in his family the entire time from the late 1700s, I believe, when they first built it and whatnot. Was reporting that he thought there was a demon, some sort of demonic activity. He's being held down at night and all kind of crazy stuff. So it was a 2-year case. I've been off and on going down there, coming back, going down there, coming back. And then just so happens, one of the producers called me or messaged me and, you know, saying who they were, and the guys were looking for cases. And I said, well, I got a good one for you, and here it is. And that's how it all came about. They had me on the show. I gave them some evidence that I've captured there. And a lot of people don't realize, too, like, some of these shows have certain criteria that need to be met. Like, the location has to be a certain size, because they want it to be aesthetic for the cameras and everything, too. So this place met all those criteria, and I was able to be on the show, and I got to stay there the entire time they were filming and investigating. And like I told you, I was super relieved and just super excited, because Jason and the guys are the real deal. You know, Sherry, yeah. Jason, Steve Tango, real deal. They do everything by the book. It's very organized, and they're really doing what you're getting on the show. So I was proud to say that, you know, they don't really subscribe to the ghost box. And I went ahead and sent them a couple of pieces of evidence I got off the ghost box. And what was cool about it was that they entertained that, because they don't subscribe to that. And they were able to verify what I got on the ghost box, which I already knew about, but because I verified it myself. But they didn't know. I let them run with it. I gave them what I had and said, you know, do what you will with it. Mm-hmm. And they verified that there was a murder. A man named John was murdered, and he was murdered with a knife. And I got this, you know, I got that evidence on the box. And they were like, well, Dave seemed to get something pretty good here from the ghost box, and they aired it on the show. So it was really cool, along with some EVPs I got and whatnot. And they, you know, Jason was startled at one point on the show too, because he got touched, and it freaked him out, a little bit. Yeah. Something touched him on the ear. And I had been touched there on the ear too, because I would go there and sleep in the place, and stay for 3 or 4 or 5 nights and try to experience what the homeowner was telling me, because they didn't live in there, but they owned it still. And I was sleeping on the couch one night, and something like brushed my ear, and I felt it, and I come set straight up off the couch. So I was like, whoa. And of course I went right into an EVP session, and there was a spirit there, and they call her, her name was Cookie. Mm-hmm. And she said, and I didn't know any of this information until after I got with the homeowner. And there was they had a cook there for many years. Her name was Cookie. Wow. And she she had the Southern accent, more than likely a black woman, mm-hmm. had the Southern accent. And she said numerous things that I recorded over many times there. And I feel like she was the one that touched me. So, they're old school. Those people in the old days were old school. You wouldn't be sleeping on the couch. You'd be in a room and have your own bed. Right. I don't think they liked the fact that I was sleeping on the couch. They wanted me to sleep in a bed.
Yeah.
But, so it's a great location, and it was a great time. And like I said, they're the real deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's very refreshing, to see that. And the evidence they got was pretty phenomenal.
Yeah. And the other thing I like about the show, they're not going to show you anything. They're not going to trump stuff up. They're going to show you exactly what they got. They're not going to, exaggerate anything. What they got is what they got. And if they
felt strongly that there was something negative that was in there for whatever reason. And, they brought Bill Bean in, and he did his whole thing, and,
yep.
So it was an honor to be on the show. Yep. And like I said, I had a great time, and I got to see how they do things. And, knowing what I know, they're the real deal. They're by the book. And, they try to debunk everything. They actually go over the top more than the average person trying to debunk stuff as an irrational explanation.
Yep.
So for them to say that, they got this and this is pretty compelling.
Yeah. And the other thing I love too, Dave, is there's even been episodes where they said, we don't have anything. Which is wonderful. That's refreshing as well. So
rare in the TV world, because we know the dramatical side, it's entertainment value.
Yep.
And some of these things just go over the top. They're finding a demon every week. It's just not the reality of things. You don't find a demon every week everywhere you go. I mean, come on, let's get real here.
Yeah.
I mean, let's use our heads. And that's unfortunate. That's the unfortunate side of the paranormal reality TV world, because it's all about dramatic entertainment and the almighty dollar. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to the real deal, I got to tell you, Ghost Hunters is the real deal when it comes to, if you want to watch real paranormal TV, that's your best bet.
There you go. There's another project you're working on, my friend. Tell us a little bit about Phosphorus Pictures and Christopher Garitano and what they're working on.
Yeah. Christopher is a great dude. I've been fortunate enough to start working with him on some projects. He made the Montauk movie, Montauk Chronicles, and he was on, had Dark Files and Strange World on Travel Channel and whatnot. But, you know, he's like us in a lot of ways. He wants to show the real paranormal, and he wants, you know, he, as far as he's concerned, he don't care if he ever does anything on mainstream network TV again, because let's face it, what I see happening, it's been an ongoing trend for several years now, is most things are going to streaming for whatever reason. I don't think they're making the money on commercials and whatnot like they used to. And it seems to be an ongoing trend that everything is going to streaming platforms.
Yeah.
So the independent guys are now, all of us are independents when we do this, you know.
Yep.
I've delved into filming some stuff, and I've been in some documentary movies and stuff, but that there's platforms out there now where the independent guys can, and who have professional cameramen and everything, you can put your stuff out there and have other people see it. And I think that's a great, great thing, because it takes away the monopoly of the TV world, and people are able to show some really good stuff. Because a lot of times when you're on these TV shows, they cut out some of the best paranormal stuff that you can ever imagine. I've had it happen to me. I was on Unexplained, you know, and they're filming my house, Willow's Week House. And we got some phenomenal stuff. One of the sound people ran out of the house. They got so freaked out because all the voices they were capturing on their high tech sound equipment freaked them the hell out, and they ran out of the house. And none of that was shown. Or even played back. And they, you know, and then we had something fly across the room during the filming. None of that was shown. I mean, like, what are we doing here? You know, I mean, come on. So, but that happens. And if you talk to anyone else that's been on some of these shows, that they'll tell you, yeah, man, they cut out the best stuff. So, you know, we're like, what's going on here? You know, we're here to show evidence. We're here to show proof that spirits are all around us and everything else. And, but unfortunately, you know, when you don't have the say so and it goes above your head, they cut out all kinds of stuff and put in other stuff. I mean, I've had guys tell me they rearranged their voices to make them say something they never said when they filmed the show. So that's very unfortunate, you know, very unfortunate. So unfortunately, they think they know what everybody wants in the entertainment world. When people that watch these shows, what's the real thing they want? They want evidence. They want to see what is going on in this place, this particular place. They want to see those hear those EVPs, see something walk across the camera. That's what they really want. And unfortunately, the TV execs don't want to hear that sometimes. And it's unfortunate because there's so much stuff, I guarantee you, that's been captured that's never been shown.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, very much.
And let's face it, when you're watching an hour episode, you really only get 45 minutes of the show because there's commercial time. So they have to decide what gets cut out and what's in. And, you know, it's very hard to show in some of these episodes everything that transpired, you know. So that's unfortunate, too. And with the streaming platform, guess what? You get to see everything.
Yeah.
So, you know,
yep.
I'm super excited about that. So working with Christopher, he's got a new project that it's in post-production now. We're filming some more stuff and we're coming up for that, called Off to the Witch. And it's a whole new, you know, the way he's filmed, he's a phenomenal director and filmer. The guy's, man, he knows his stuff. And I love the way he puts it together. Like we saw those movies in the 80s and stuff. And then I loved his style. And, you know, I grew up on horror movies and all kinds of different things. And that's right up his alley. He's from our generation, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and we're working on, me and Serenity are working on another project with him. Campfire Club is going to be called. That'll be out next year sometime. So, and that has to do with us and kids. So I'm really excited about that project because we talked before the show and you know what I was telling you about.
Yep.
So we're doing that, and we'll do some stuff for this Off of the Witch show. And, you know, he's a great guy. He wants to show the real side of the paranormal, just like we do. And, you know, he's the real deal too. And, you know, I think he worked 15 years on the Montauk Chronicles before it ever was released.
Wow.
So if you haven't seen that movie, I highly, highly recommend it.
Yeah.
And he's got a great podcast too, called Off to the Witch. So it's all kind of intertwining with what he's doing.
Yep.
It's really cool. So I'll have him on your show, man.
Oh, I mean, yeah, he's absolutely. Yep.
I mean, I highly recommend him. So, yeah, some cool stuff coming up. And, you know, I'm excited, man. As long as I'm having fun and stay excited doing this, it's worth every second of it, you know.
Absolutely.
But, you know, like I said, it gets frustrating sometimes, too, because, like I said, there's very little amount of money to be made in the paranormal world. It's more about your own personal journey.
Yep.
And, you know, what you need to know as a person. And it's exploring the other side of things. And hopefully, you know, you're doing it for the right reasons and not just to get a TV show. Because if you're doing it to get on TV, you're doing it for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
It's a personal exploration and an evolution of your mind, body, and soul, so to speak. Because, you know, some people only believe one way. I'm always telling people, hey, have an open mind. Go outside for, you know, people are so stuck on there. They're stuck in their 9-to-5 grind on the cell phone 24/7. They never go outside. And like we were kids, man, we used to get in trouble because if the streetlights came on and you weren't home, you're in big trouble. But
that's right.
You know, we used to play outside. Go outside and observe your surroundings. Look at the sky for 20, 30 minutes a day. You never know what you'll see, man.
That's right.
Go out there because there's stuff out there that will blow your mind.
You bring up an interesting point there, looking at the sky there, Dave. I want to end on one last note here, and actually kind of one and a half last notes. Recently, you were out at Brown Mountain in North Carolina. I know you've been to St. Augustine to investigate. If someone's out there, and let's say they're a hobbyist, they kind of want to get into the paranormal, they kind of want to start investigating themselves, but they don't really know how to get that first foot in the water. How would they go about getting that first foot in the water? Let's say they're not part of a team. They're not part of they don't know if they want to join a paranormal team or not, but they want to kind of start to get their foot in the water. How do they put their eye in the sky, or how do they start out? How do they get that first foot out there?
It's easy. I mean, it really is. I mean, let's face it, do a little research, learn about EVPs, learn about your basic camera stuff. You know, you can use our cell phones are phenomenal cameras nowadays. I mean, there's more tech in that cell phone than that was in the Apollo missions. I mean, let's face it, you know, you've got everything you need right in your hand. All cell phones have, you can put a recorder app that are really good recorders. They record really good. You've got a really high tech camera in most of these new cell phones. You know, if you want to invest in a recorder or separate from your phone, go ahead. But basically all you got to do is go out there and, do an EVP session, you know, see what you get. I think you'll be surprised because you'll get some stuff that most times you'll get something that's kind of like, whoa, wait a minute, what's that? And just learn about it, research it, and get your foot in the door. If you need more info, get with a team, you know, start working with a team that's been around a while, that has a good rep. Go out and tag along on some of their investigations as a rookie, and if they'll have you, you know, do it like that. There's all kinds of ways, or you can just go out by yourself and go to some of these historical, you know, I'm a big believer in places that have a lot of energy, a lot of activity are usually like, give some examples like Gettysburg Battlefield or something like that. Like you mentioned St. Augustine, I used to live in Jacks Beach, Florida. So it was like literally 25, 30 minutes from my house. I was down there every weekend, way before this stuff was on TV and everything. As a young man trying to cut my teeth in the paranormal, you know, and I was doing stuff as a really young man after I had my experiences out in New Mexico and Arizona and different things because I was in the land of enchantment, man. My stepdad was in the military. You know, I got my very first EVP at Mesa Verde in Colorado. The Anasazi people, they just disappeared. They don't even know what happened to that whole tribe of people. So we would go out to places like that on family vacations. And I started watching like In Search Of, and I saw Hans Holder on there, and he had the same recorder I had for Christmas, you know, and I was like, hey, I got one of those. I can do that. Mm-hmm. So I kind of started delving into it, getting my feet wet, so to speak, at going to some of those places. And I got, you know, went out there with the family. It was during the middle of the week. There was nobody out there, no reenactors, no nothing. And we were out there by ourselves, and I got Native American chanting on old cassette tape and some other weird stuff that I was like, whoa, you know, this is weird, and some drumming and stuff. And there was nobody, you couldn't see anybody anywhere. So, whoa, wait a minute, you know. So when once that stuff starts happening to you and you've already had some weird experiences of your own, and you, it just starts snowballing and you get hooked, and then it's just, you know, it's one after the other. So it's very addicting. But you know, if you go to places like that on vacation, go out and do some EVP work and stuff. It's an easy way to start, you know, and, EVPs, in my opinion, are some of the best evidence you can get in the paranormal, you know, because you can't explain that it's not your voice and there was no one else around you, even in sight, and you've got another voice responding to a question. How do you explain that? And it's unexplainable.
Yeah.
You know, so it's fascinating stuff.
That it is. Lots of stuff out there for you to check out with Dave Spinks. First of all, the West Virginia Dogman is available right now. We'll have a link to that in the description of this program. MonsterCon is April 28th through the 30th in Richwood, West Virginia. We'll have the link for that as well. By the way, I'm going to cheat and tell you, DaveSpinksParanormalInvestigator.com. Dave's shop. Dave Spinks World of Weird. Check it out. 8,000 square feet, folks. You got everything you can possibly want there. You've got the paranormal. You got the supernatural. You have the metaphysical there as well. Everything you could possibly want at DaveSpinksWorldOfWeird.com and much, much more. We'll have links in the description of this program so you can check out everything Dave Spinks. He's going to be all around the country this spring, summer, and fall. Those locations as well in his website, DaveSpinksParanormalInvestigator.com. So you can follow Dave all around the country. Dave, I want to thank you so much for being with us today.
My pleasure, man. Anytime. You know, I love talking about this stuff with you and whoever else wants to talk about it, because I love it. And thanks for having me on the show, man. I really appreciate all the plugs.
Oh, absolutely. And thank you for being with us. It was my pleasure.
All right, Tim.
And folks, we want to thank you so much for tuning in this week and being with us this week for another great week of Darkness Radio. Have a great weekend, folks. Just a reminder that we're coming into springtime, but it is still pretty chilly out there, and there's a whole lot of snow on the ground. So you're going to have a neighbor out there that's going to need some assistance. You're going to have somebody out there that's going to need some assistance. Take 5 minutes, 10 minutes, go out there and help your fellow neighbors with whatever they need. You may need or may have somebody out there that needs a coat or a hat, or maybe there's somebody in need out there that may need a meal or need an extra $5. Help somebody who's in need this weekend. Make the world a little bit better place. Leave it a little bit better than what you found it. Just a little note from your buddies here at Darkness Radio. This weekend, I'll be on KNSI Radio this Saturday morning from 7 to 9 a.m. Listen to me, knsiradio.com, if you got nothing better to do on Saturday morning. Beer City Bruiser will be in North Carolina wrestling this weekend. Check it out on the events page, darknessradioshow.com. That's it. Have a great weekend, folks. Thanks for listening to the best in paranormal programming. This has been Darkness Radio.